The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The only good Indian is a dead Indian.
Welcome to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda, your host here for the next hour. Make sure you stay tuned the next half hour. I'll be doing your news across Indian country, letting you know what's going on this past week. And as we observe a Memorial Day tomorrow, it is a day in which those who died in active military service are remembered, traditionally observed on the last Monday in May. So make sure you remember that, and if you can, go help clean off some of those graves out there. Some people don't have the family nearby to help clean their family members who may have served, and that's always welcomed to remember all of those who died in active military service. And remember all that and the sacrifices that were made. And as Native people, I think, you know, we do this often, all the time, almost every weekend, you know, at gatherings, we remember those serving in the military. So I was going to play this song. It was a recording done a long time ago, but you have people who are singing Kiowa song, remembering those in service. So you're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Kan Kishkikashanina. This is the 297th program of the Indians for Indians Hour. Kishkikai speaking. Anyhow, I just returned from a fine weekend at Pawnee. I'm not a very good counter, but I'd say that there were 200 or 300 there. Lots of good food, a dance in the afternoon, again at night. I put on my feathers and moccasins and limbered up a little at night. So as far as I'm personally concerned, the powwow season for 1947 is officially on. The group here today is the Carnegie War Mothers chapter and their singers, and the program director, David Upcom. And now, David, I'm going to turn it over and let you talk to these folks a while.
Thank you, Dan. Hello, my Indian friends. It is my pleasure to present to you the following program given by the War Mothers Club of Carnegie Chapter. Each of these persons had at least one son in service, and many of them two and three, all serving overseas in all branches of the service, or paying the supreme sacrifice. This chapter of Indian War Mothers has contributed large sums of money to the American Red Cross and other organizations supporting the war effort. They have proven themselves 100% Americans. And furthermore, we Indians are the only peoples who honor our war heroes in songs. So it is to you Indians who still are upholding the traditions of our forefathers, we are having this program for your listening pleasure. May God bless you. The first three songs Edgar Gulel wants to dedicate to his mother, who is a Gold Star mother, and this includes other Gold Star mothers and Gold Star fathers.
Hey, 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 hey. Yeah!
You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I hope you enjoyed our tribute to those who lost their lives in service for this Memorial Day honoring. And we have so many Native people that are in the service. And you, I know like everybody probably has someone in their family who has been in the military, has lost their lives, and you know, that's what Memorial Day is about, is honoring those who lost their lives. And I hope you enjoyed those songs. You know, we have a lot of Native singers who go out and do these tributes. And it's just a really great way to honor our past warriors who laid the ultimate sacrifice on the line for all of us. So, great tribute. I'll play Amazing Grace right now. So, again, honoring those who lost their lives in service for this Memorial Day. You're listening to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Cloud, the great-grandson of the great Chief Red Cloud, who liked to sing a victory song. This song was sang right after the Little Bighorn fight of General Custer and the Sioux people. There were many Indians in the encampment there when Custer approached, and that's where he ended his life, trying to conquer the Sioux tribe. I already told Custer not to do this, but he didn't listen. And there he lays. That's the first song in the meeting. And the second song was, he says, Custer, I said, when you come to fight, bring more soldiers, because you are very weak. And the third song, I went north, and there was a big trouble. So I was the one that done that. That's the victory dance songs. Fourth one was, it says, you soldiers should wake up. They are all asleep. And the fifth one is, you are looking for Custer. And here he lies over here, still in gun smoke. That's the meaning of this victory war dance song. Hey-oh, hey-oh, hey-oh.
I love the old way, and it was fun days for me growing up.
Aloha, mahine hawaii vau,
mahawai. Tasana hohino puhu.
Because, you know, we're talking for the future generations.
I'm Conroy Chino, introducing you to Living Voices, Profiles of Native Americans and Native Hawaiians Today. Mitchell Bush came to Washington, D.C. in the 1960s from the Onondaga community in upstate New York. Since then, he has helped shape the development of Washington's unique Indian community.
I like the quality of life here. The people that are here are generally well-educated people. Matter of fact, from a few years ago, about 1950s and 60s, the federal government recruited the cream of the crop from Indian schools. When we first began in 61, people used to laugh about the word community, Indian community. They said there's no Indian community. They live all over the place. At the time, we were young people and we wanted to organize our social life. We all basically worked at the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and weekends we were just wanted to have some organization of what we were doing. But as we grew older and began to marry and have children, our emphasis changed from strictly social to cultural. At that point, we had no elders within our organization. Later on, those of us that were young became elders. So our organization then had a completely different outlook on Indian culture in the later years than it had when we organized. One of the most important, I think, is to recognize and remember and visit the people that died, either in the area or who were buried at Arlington National Cemetery because of their being veterans. In Washington National Cemetery is the first local Indian who died here and was buried here. Most of the others in the past were shipped back to their home community. But we decorate those and the Congressional Cemetery, which has about 24 American Indian leaders who died in Washington on tribal business. Then at Arlington National, these were people that had been veterans of the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam. And we began to know people that were buried there. For example, Gordon Olshiel was a Seneca. We knew him, he was part of us. And he died and was buried at Arlington. Carl Thorpe is another one who's right beside the grandfather plaque. And most of the public probably never heard of the grandfather plaque, but it's a memorial basically to the Indian veterans. Now, I started out in 61, and shortly thereafter came the Poor People's Campaign, which was primarily a black support activity. And this is one of the first times that Indians came out of tribal communities to Washington to demonstrate or to be part of this Poor People's Campaign. The Commissioner of Indian Affairs appointed a young lady named Linda Bernal and myself to be sort of like host and hostess. And when the Indian people would come over to meet with various BIA agency representatives, we would provide them with coffee and donuts. Then after that came the Trail of Broken Treaties, primarily sponsored by the American Indian Movement, in which they took over the building that we worked in and renamed it the American Indian Embassy. This began to change worldwide the impression that Indians were extinct. They began to realize that we were here. And that Trail of Broken Treaties is funny because on one end of the building they had a very conservative white group demonstrating their support, and on the other side of the building they had the Black Panthers. It was really supported by mainstream America, you want to call them that.
This interview with Mitchell Bush was conducted by Michael Nephew. Living Voices is a project of the Smithsonian Institution, National Museum of the American Indian. Executive producers Kevin Lewis and Elizabeth Weatherford. Project coordinator Nan Rubin. Writers Peggy Berryhill and Ginger Miles, mixed at Mercer Street Sound. For more information, check out our website at www.si.edu/NMAI. For Living Voices, I'm Conroy Chino.
Welcome to Native Spirit Radio here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Rhonda here, your host for this hour. And like I said, honoring those who died in service for Memorial Day. We have many Native American songs honoring those who put the ultimate sacrifice out there for all of us. So I hope you're enjoying our Memorial Day songs. All right, we'll be doing your news across Indian country, letting you know what's going on out there. Some terrible news, and I had the editor of Lakota Country Times on this show a couple weeks ago, and they were looking for three young men who went missing on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Unfortunately, that search has ended. They were found in their car, overturned, and just not the outcome people wanted. The funerals of the three men were missing for over 16 days on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation have been set. The three died as a result of an automobile accident. The bodies of Juan Lamont, 24, Tevin Tyon, 21, and Tyrell Wilson were discovered in a car that was some 75 feet below an unpaved road near a ravine with the White River running through the area. Juan Allen Lamont, or Juani, was born in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. He was the firstborn son of Stephanie Lamont and Raymond Regoza. Tyrell Tree Wilson was born August 16, 1992, in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, to Steve Wilson and Jessica Mesteth. And his funeral has been set for Monday at the Wolf Creek Gymnasium. Juan Lamont's funeral will be on Friday, this past Friday, and on Pine Ridge the Reservation. And then we have SBS Tevin Lewis Tyon. He joined the National Guard and was committed to his 155th Engineering Company out of Rapid City. Tevin was deployed to Kuwait in August of 2015 and returned home in April of 2016. Tevin was very proud to serve his country and was promoted to Specialist SPC-4 in January of 2016. He survived by his mother, Dorothy Tyon, of Pine Ridge, South Dakota, his father, Jody Plentywoods, of Bateson, South Dakota, and sister, Nikki Valdez, of Pine Ridge, South Dakota, brothers Jody and Lau Plentywoods of Bateson, South Dakota. And his funeral was also held this past Friday on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Not the outcome people wanted in that news story is very, very sad. Some interesting issues going on overseas. There's going to be another auction being held in France, and it's, again, auctioning very, very sacred items to many tribes, but in particular to my tribe, the Acoma Pueblo. And I wrote this story about what was going on. Native American cultural items, many considered very sacred, are going up for auction in Paris, France. An effort to stop the auction, the National Museum of the American Indian held a meeting at the museum to discuss what efforts are being done to stop the event. Congressman Steve Pierce from New Mexico introduced the protection of the right of tribes to stop the export of cultural and traditional patrimony resolution, or it's called PROTECT. Congressman Pierce stated they have had many helping them to get the resolution passed. Quote, when we find culturally sensitive items are being auctioned for sale, we ask why. What our office did was to prepare this resolution, which says you should not be trafficking tribal and culturally sensitive items. The French are having an auction on March the 30th and have not been responsive to our request. Acoma Pueblo Governor Kurt Riley gave an emotional speech on what items mean to his tribe and why they shouldn't be sold. Quote, we are appealing to the people of France and to the French authorities to honor our humanity and to value our ancient traditional beliefs by stopping the sale and returning this item. I just want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak on behalf of my people. As you can tell, when these items leave our Pueblo, this is how much it hurts for a person in my position to speak and express my emotion this way. This is how much it hurts when we see these cultural items put on the internet, put up for sale. Lawrence Roberts, Acting Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs, went on to say, many tribes are coming to help in international repatriation. We stand with the Acoma Pueblo to stop the Eve Auction House to stop the sale. We stand with all the tribes asking to stop it. We look forward to working with Congress on this issue. This is a problem that has gone on for far too long. And in response to that, the auction house in France says they won't stop the sale of the hundreds of tribal items despite protests from the United States. Elaine Leroy, a director at the Yves Auction House in Paris, told Associated Press that all the items up for sale on May 30th were acquired legally. He suggested the sales were actually helpful to tribes, even though they have said otherwise. Leroy told the AP that the public auction process allows the different tribes to acquire their past, and that is exactly what some tribes prefer to do, seeking efficiency and discretion. So apparently he feels that these were all done legally, which I can say that for the item that they have with from my tribe, there is absolutely no way that would have been done legally. As part of my tribe's effort to get that stuff back, they have written a letter to France that was posted on nativenewsonline.net. You can go check it out if you want, or you can look for it on Facebook on Native News Online. And they stated, the people of the Pueblo of Acoma, an Indian tribe in the United States, calls upon the people of France to help us in our hour of need. Something very disturbing and unsettling has been occurring in Paris auction houses in the art world that has led to outrage and condemnation by many Native American tribes in the United States, including the Pueblo of Acoma. It's the illegal practice of trafficking and selling Native American cultural property, items considered sacred, used in worship, and never to be given away or sold. We ask that the French auction house refrain from offering these items for sale and assist in their return for their rightful owners. One such auction house sale will occur next week at the Yves Company in Paris. These items are not works of art, but rather integral parts of our cultural identity and spiritual practices. Their loss has been terribly painful to us. The possibility of their return home brings us hope. Notably, the black market trade and trafficking of tribal cultural patrimony is unlawful in the United States and under Acoma tribal law. For the people of Acoma, the sacred objects and other cultural patrimony being auctioned off are used as part of our cultural practices. They are of great importance, similar to items significant to churches, basilicas, and places of worship around the world. These objects are so important that no one individual can own, sell, or transfer them. They are highly revered and used in prayer and ceremony by the traditional leaders of our Pueblo, holy ceremonies conducted for the benefit of all mankind. Unfortunately, in the past decade, these items have been removed from our traditional homelands and have ended up for sale at auction houses on the internet and at art galleries across the United States, and most recently have been offered for sale in Europe. These venues have created a monetary incentive for thieves and wrongdoers. For many in Europe who don't know our history, we offer this brief summary. The archaeological history of Pueblo people in the state of New Mexico has its beginnings over 10,000 years ago. However, Pueblo people believe they have occupied this land since time immemorial. While there is no written account reflecting the presence of Pueblo people over the millennium, there is plenty of evidence in the forms of markings, etchings carved in stone, images that reflected our worldview, as well as large monumental structures, dwellings, kivas, and artifacts that speak to civilizations that long existed before the arrival of the first Europeans. Over the centuries, Pueblo people migrated and settled in an area known as the Four Corners in the southwest part of the United States. There, they have built large communal structures at places like Chaco Canyon and Mesa Verde. Around 1300 AD, the ancestral people of Acoma migrated from the Four Corners area to a place prepared in western New Mexico. They established a large plaza-oriented pueblo that has been continuously inhabited. Centuries later, the people of Acoma continue to maintain their distinct cultural, lifestyle, and belief system based on a strong connection to the land and significant geographic landmarks combined with social customs, clan affiliations, and ceremonies sacred and revered. The Pueblo remains on its original homelands, its governance structure sound, its language, culture, ceremonies, and belief system still intact, and its families and community protected by secular and traditional laws. We ask that you align your convictions with ours and call upon Paris Auction House to stop the practice of selling sacred objects, actions that are clearly wrong and profane. Sincerely, Pueblo of Acoma, Governor Curt Riley. And if you can, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, that letter is published in English and as well as French. And so we're hoping that people will share that with Europeans and they'll share it with others out there so they can understand how awful this is and what they're doing and trying to sell our culture. So if you're on Twitter or Facebook, please retweet that. I've posted it under my Twitter at Rhonda Lavaldo, or you can find it on Native News Online on Facebook and Twitter. They also have a Twitter there too. All right. Out of New Mexico was a really, great news story. That was First Lady Michelle Obama went to be the commencement speaker for Santa Fe Indian School. This past Thursday, she acknowledged the painful past of the federal government's Indian education policies. She said boarding schools and other institutions once tried to annihilate tribal cultures. She was quoted as saying, but today, the native languages that were once strictly forbidden here now echo through the hallways in your dorm room conversations at night, Obama said to a loud applause. In light of the historic obstacles, Obama told the class of 100-plus seniors that their stories inspire her. She said they were maintaining their traditions while forging new paths forward for their communities. Whether you're saying an ancient blessing over your hydroponically grown crops or using cutting-edge computer technology to understand the biology and hydrology of your ancestral lands every day at the school, you've been weaving together thousands of years of your heritage with the realities of your modern lives, the First Lady said. And all that preparation and hard work is so critically important because make no mistake about it. You all are the next generation of leaders in your communities, not years from now or decades from now, but right now, Obama told the students. But Obama warned that the youth, they will continue to face more challenges, alluding to the highly charged politically climate in a heated election year. She said some of the loudest voices in the nation are advancing ideas that go against every single one of the values that you've been living at this school. She didn't identify any of those loudest voices by name, but her message was clear. She told the students to stand up for their beliefs. They're telling us that we should disrespect each other because of who they are or where they come from or how they worship, she said. They're telling us that we should be selfish, that folks who are struggling don't deserve our help, that we should just take what we can from life and not worry about anyone else. They're saying that it's okay to keep harming our planet and using our land, our air, our water, whatever we wish, she noted. But graduates, you all know that those are not the values that shape good citizens. Those are not the values that build strong families and communities and nations. And it was a really great speech if you were able to watch it online. I believe it's probably on YouTube. And they did broadcast it live, but it was a really wonderful speech. It was greatly received. Well, another story about education. The students at New Katua Academy, the immersion school operated by the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, are getting to read a classic children's book in their own language. Myrtle Driver Johnson, a beloved woman of the tribe, translated E.B. White's Charlotte's Web into Cherokee using the Cherokee syllabary that was originally developed by Sequoia. She said she spent 3 years on the effort to ensure it made sense in the language. I just imagine the animals talking to each other in Cherokee, Johnson told the Asheville Citizen Times. The New Katua Academy offers immersion classes for students from kindergarten through grade 6. The school has to create its own text due to the lack of available materials in the Cherokee language. The tribe counts between 300 and 400 fluent speakers of the language in North Carolina. So interesting story about them. And then another story about Cherokees in Oklahoma. The leaders of the United Katua Band of Cherokee Indians voted to impeach their chief, George Wycliffe, this past Tuesday. The council sustained 3 complaints against Wycliffe. According to news reports, he was accused of misappropriating tribal funds, violating the Constitution, and approving payments without approval. Wycliffe spoke for a few minutes at the impeachment hearing, the Tahlequah Daily Press reported. He disputed the allegations and said he did not take any money, the Tulsa World reported. Wycliffe, who has served 3 terms as chief, has 7 days to file an appeal. But they have already put in position a new leader. Joe Bunch will serve as chief until November 7th election, according to news reports. Bunch previously served as assistant chief. He was tapped for that post following the passing of George Locust in March of 2014. All right, so that's all your news across Indian country. And we'll get back into the music. And I believe a queued up. This one, let me make sure it's the right song.
They say red belongs to the side of the heart because it makes you humble. Whenever you put on paint, it's like showing the spirits that you're ready for anything, that your heart is good, that you're going to fight for your family or whatever you believe in. So this is what we use to symbolize in paint, that you're a warrior, and that's what warrior means, to be ready for anything and to fight for what you believe in.
Let's go,
right. I was Soldier Boy, and we're doing our tribute to Memorial Day, all those who served and lost their lives. Make sure you go remember them this weekend. I'll be leaving off with some Native American church music by Cheever's Coffee. Or Cheever's Topaw, I'm sorry. Cheever's Topaw. Everybody have a wonderful week, and I will see you again next Sunday. Stay tuned for Sunset Reggae coming up next here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Is that not working? Okay, hold on just a second. Try this again. All right, there we go. See you guys again next Sunday.
Yahweh, the Hey, 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 Yahwe Hey, y'all, when they, oh, hey, y'all, when I'm, oh, we, nah, hey, they, oh.